The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's shiur, although it's Parashas Re'eh, is a hemshich, is a continuation from the shiur which we gave last week, as we then announced. The last week's shiur was on Parshas Ekev, and it was on the topic of Derech Eretz, Chochmas Derech Eretz, which literally means the wisdom of the way of the land. But before starting the shiur, I'd like to briefly and concisely review some of the main principles that we said last week, and those who want to elaborate more can refer to the tape from last week. Now we started with the Pasuk in Parshas Ekev, Perek Tes, Pasuk Tes. Balesi ohora lakachas luches avonim luches abris, asher koras Hashem imochem. The Moshe Rabbeinu said that when I went up to the mountain to receive the tablets of stone which Hashem has given to us, I dwelled on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Lechem le'achalti u'mayim le'shasisi. I did not eat any bread, nor did I drink any water. And the Gemara brings in Bo Metzia, why? Shlo yishana odom miminag hamokom. The person is not supposed to change the customs of the particular place he goes to. Therefore, the malachim, the angels, do not eat or drink. So Moshe did not eat or drink. We see by Abraham, the angels came down to this land, and even though they do not eat and drink, but here they did like Abraham, and they did drink. And we mention that this is not speaking about changing the halachas, the laws of the Torah, which also one is not supposed to do. If there is a practice of a certain law in one place and they do it a little differently in another place, that's a different topic. But this is referring to a derech eretz, a mannerism in which the Medrash states, Mitlo Omar. Medrash says, a parable is said, Alei Lekato, Aleich Benimusa. You go into a certain city, then conduct yourself the way they do. And further states that Moshe had told the people that he had actually given his life to receive the Torah because he had to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. We brought a question from the late the Baron Kotler, the great Gaon. Why did Moshe go to such extremes, especially at this time of the giving of the Torah? And he answered, because we have a principle, Derech Eretz Kod Melateira. That when it comes to proper conduct, how one should act vis-a-vis other people, or conduct himself in this land, that's more important than Torah. That precedes Torah. And if one lacks in that, then he's going to lack in Torah. And here Moshe had to receive the Torah in its entirety and bring it down to the world forever. So he knew that he was going to have to be perfect when it comes to Derech Eretz. Otherwise this would have caused a fallacy in the whole receiving of the Torah, a fault. And therefore he was willing to go to such extremes. Then we explain, what does it mean, Derech Eretz? This is a term which refers to many different things. Derech Eretz, the Maral says, refers to anything which is necessary for a person because he lives in this world and in this land, because he's a physical being. There are innumerous numbers of principles which must be kept. Otherwise, he's not going to be very successful in this world in his own right, or vis-a-vis the society that he lives in. And that's why we find that many times the sages refer to Derech Eretz when it comes to Midas Noos, good quality traits, good manners, how one's dealings with his fellow man, with his wife, with his household, one's livelihood, when it comes to taking care of himself, good hygiene, to safeguard himself from danger, his health, how he should eat and sleep, how he should dress, and so forth. And then we brought a number of illustrations. How important is this? And how great of a study is it? And we brought, for example, that many times the Torah goes out of its way. L'mona ha-kosev l'lam ducha derech eretz. The Torah goes out of its way in order to teach us a derech eretz. Even at times when it could have caused problems. We illustrated last week. Further, it states, ach ovesa olam, ho yinahagin b'derech eretz. You might think that when it comes to these principles, this is good for smaller people. But when it comes to great people, they don't have to be so particular. They don't have to worry. If the Chazal say that a person shouldn't go out late at night, or he shouldn't travel on the road at night because it could be dangerous, they don't have to worry about that, because they have the Hashkochas Protis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes particular care of them. And that the Medrash says, even Abraham and Yitzchok and Yaakov and the Nevi'im and the prophets, they all lived in accordance to their heritage. They would not break these principles. Then we explained, and this is a great wisdom, if our sages take so much time and the Gemaras to explain it, and even if the Torah takes so much time, we see this is not a chokhmah pshuta. It's not a simple wisdom, it's a great wisdom. What is the difference between the Chochmas Derech Eretz and Chochmas HaTorah? So what is the difference then between the wisdom of Derech Eretz and the wisdom of Torah? So the Maral explains that the wisdom of Derech Eretz is the Seichel HaTachton. That's the human intelligence. What human intelligence demands and decrees how a person should act. A man was created with a yosher, with an understanding and an intelligence that can define between something which is straight and something which is crooked. And human intelligence dictates and decrees what is proper and what is not proper in many, many, many cases. So that what human intelligence decrees how a person should conduct his affairs vis-a-vis himself, vis-a-vis society, that is called Derech Eretz. It's the way of the yishuv, the way of the civilization. Now, a person should be a civilized being and not a wild animal. Chochmas HaTorah, the wisdom of Torah, that's not what human intelligence decrees. That's what godly intelligence decrees. A person was given another intelligence, because not only was he given a body and a human life, he was also given a soul. And he was created B'Tzelem Elokim in the image of Hashem. And on that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a Seichel HaElyon, a higher type of intelligence that we learn from Torah that comes from another world. And that decrees how a person should walk on this world, because he's not only a civilized being of this world, but he's also a godly being of this world. He also has an enormous spirit and soul in him. So that's the difference between the Chochmas Derech Eretz and the Chochmas HaTorah, the wisdom of Derech Eretz and the wisdom of Torah. Then we have a principle which is states Kodmo Derech Eretz LaTorah. Derech Eretz preceded Torah. The source of this, we explained, the Medrash brings from the Pasuk Lishmar as Derech Eitz Chaim. In the Garden of Eden, there was a derech, a way, to the Eitz Chaim, the Tree of Life. The Medrash says the derech, the way, that was the Derech Eretz that Hashem taught Adam HaRishon. It's called the way, because it teaches a person how to walk in this world. Eitz Chaim, the Tree of Life, Zuhatera, that was the Torah, because the Torah not only gives person a life in this world, but will give him even life in another world, in the Elam Haba, in the world to come. And we see that before the Eitz Chaim, it must be preceded by the Derech. So from here we learn that first HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Derech Eretz to the people, and then only later Torah. And this we see chronologically, because Derech Eretz was taught immediately to Adam, to the first man, and to teach to his children. And then he was given the six mitzvahs, which is already his portion in Torah. And then Noach, 10 generations later, was given another mitzvah. And the full Torah, Taryag, 613, that was only given 26 generations from the time of Adam HaRishon, 2,000 years later. 2,000 years to Abraham, or 26 generations to Sinai. And that's why the Medrash tells us, Kodma Derech Eretz LeTorah, Al Taim Shona, 2,000 years, or Chovav Davis, 26 generations. And we see that this is the way the world develops all of the time. Because when a child is born, you must start teaching him Derech Eretz right away. You teach him, don't touch something that's hot. Don't go near the swimming pool. Don't play with strange animals. They might bite. And so forth and so forth. You teach him how to keep himself clean and that he should eat well. And as he grows, the more Derech Eretz you teach him. And only later do you start teaching him words of Torah or Aleph Beis. Because how can one come to the Seichel HaElyon, to a wisdom which is coming from another world, which will decree to him what he should do and what he should not do, if he has not conquered or he has not captured a wisdom of this world which decrees to him what he should do and what he should not do? And therefore all of the nations were commanded on Derech Eretz. That wasn't given particularly to Israel. Mitzvahs, they would have given some mitzvahs. Israel were given all of the mitzvahs. And then finally we went into the facet. What happens if someone is lacking the wisdom of Derech Eretz? And that we said, the Torah and the sages are very, very chastising against. Very much. Extremely so. States that if someone lacks the wisdom of Derech Eretz, Harei Nikra Bor, he's called a Bor. A Bor is an empty person, like a Galen. Empty person. He's flesh and blood, but nothing more. No Seichel. Or, if someone is Lebe Mikra, the Lebe Mishnah, the Lebe Derech Eretz, if someone is not learned at all in Torah, and he's not even in Derech Eretz either, Yiddish was the same. Er fühlt sich nicht wie ein Mensch. And then the Gemara says, Eina min ha-yishuv. Es kenet menschen. That's where the Yiddish expression comes from. He's not from civilization. He belongs maybe in the Karu, in the wilderness. But he's not a civilized being. And Rabbi Yechanan said he's possible for Edus, we cannot accept him for testimony. And the Rambam brings Arezer Becheskes Rosho. We can consider him to be a Rosho. And what happens if someone is a great Talmud Chochem, but he lacks Derech Eretz? And that the Gemara says he's Mechalel Hashem. This is a Chilul Hashem. Even though he doesn't do any Averus of the Torah, but desecrates the name of Hashem. And the Medrash brings from Moshe Rabbeinu that Nevela Teve Imenu, that in many cases a Nevela, which is a dead animal, is considered greater than him. Because we see the great Derech Eretz Meshed here, and in another case where after he built the entire Mishkan, he still would not enter until the king HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked him to come in. Now that briefly goes over the points that we mentioned that we went through last week's shiur. Now I'd like to carry this a little further. Today we live in a world which, when we look around, doesn't look too good. And we see everything that's happening all over. And we say it's a world without Torah. Unfortunately, it's worse than that. It's not only a world without Torah, it's a world without Derech Eretz. But so far, the world has fallen to such depths that today, when we see someone who might be do something great in the area of Derech Eretz, we call it Torah. This is how small our analysis or comprehension is of Derech Eretz. That if we see someone do something which looks pretty good in Derech Eretz, we call that Torah. And when it comes to actual greatness in Torah, that many times is levels that we do not have a comprehension of at all. And let me explain. The Gemara brings in Masechet Kedushin that the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, that you should honor your father and mother, this is a mitzvah asay, a positive commandment, a very, very important commandment, so important that it's in the Aseres HaDibros, it's in the Ten Commandments. If someone will ask you, mitzvahs kibud av v'em, they'll tell you it's a very, very important mitzvah. Mitzvahs Hashem, which is true. And the Gemara brings in Kedushin on Lamed Aleph that the Umeis Olam, the nations of the world, were not commanded in this mitzvah. They were not given this mitzvah. This is not from their seven mitzvahs. But still we see universally the nations of the world honored their fathers and mothers. The Gemara tells us. Universally. Why? It's not a mitzvah that they commanded it. So why universally did they honor their fathers and mothers? The answer is because the seichel is mechayev that. The seichel atachtein. Don't have to come to godly intelligence that one should honor his father and mother. That even the nations of the world know. That's bechlaud derech eretz. Gemara brings, the Medrash brings, at the end of Parshas Neach, the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Avraham Avinu. And he said, Lech Lecha mi'artzecha u'mimeladetecha u'mibeis avicha. I want you to go out from your city, Aram Naraim, Ur Kasdim, and I want you to leave your land, and I want you to leave your family, and leave the house of your father, because I'm going to take you to Canaan, to Eretz Yisrael, and make from you a new and very unique nation, a blessed seed. And all of the nations will be blessed because of you. Medrash tells us Abraham was very, very upset with this, very concerned, and he didn't want to do it. Why? Abraham mefachid. He trembled at this. Omar, and he said, if I will go, I will desecrate the Almighty's name. Why? Because Vayemru, the people will say, Heiniach Oviv Le'esik Nosa. What kind of person is that that will leave his father when he is old and go to another land? And Abraham said it will be a Chilul Hashem, a desecration of Hashem's name. So Abraham was very upset with this. Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't worry. Lecho ani petrecho mikibur av ve'ein, ve'ein ani peter le'acher mikibur av ve'ein. You, I exempt from honoring your father and mother, but I do not exempt anyone else from honoring his father and mother, and therefore you can go. Now, why Abraham was exempted, that's another discussion, see, which we won't go into at this time. But what is this Medrash talking about? First of all, Abraham was not commanded on Kibbur Av Ve'im. This was before the mitzvahs were given. So what was the big deal? Kodesh Baruch Hu said, go, you go. Secondly, what did he say? That I'll go be Achil Hashem. Who? To who will be Achil Hashem? To the goyim, to the nations of the world. They weren't commanded on the mitzvah of Kibbur Av Ve'im. So who will be Achil Hashem to? Thirdly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't worry. I exempt you, but I do not exempt others. Who's exempting? Nobody was obligated. Kibbur Av Ve'im was a mitzvah that was given generations later. And even if we say that Abraham fulfilled the mitzvahs, which the Gemara says, before it was given, what's it got to do with Chil Hashem by others? So it'll be a desecration to the Hashem's name, because here Abraham is not fulfilling the Torah before it was given. And I part to you, I free you, and I do not free others. The answer is the mitzvah of Kibbur Av Ve'im was a mitzvah that everyone kept before the Torah was given. Everyone. What kind of person doesn't honor his father and mother? Is that a mensch? It's an animal. We don't need Torah for that. Here, a father and mother bring a child into the world, and they care for him. So what kind of person is that that will turn their back on a father and mother? That's what Abraham was worried about. This was Yodua, this was known to all of the nations. And here Abraham was becoming a role model of decency in the world, and he's going to Hiach Oviv, he's leaving an old father and going away. This is what he was worried about. The Gemara says further, the Medrash says, Omer Shim Gamlil, this is in Barshis, told us, the great Rav Shim Gamlil said that all that I did to honor my father and mother, I never came at all to the way Esav honored his father and mother. The way Esav honored Yitzchak. Why? He said, because when I used to cook something, I used to bake something, or prepare a meal for my father, so in the clothing that I prepared the meal, I served him the meal. When Esau prepared a meal for Yitzchak, his father, he prepared the meal in one set of clothing, then he changed and he put on Bigdei Malchus. He put on garments of royalty, and then he would come and serve his father. This was the awe and the respect that Esav had for his father. Now, where was Esav commanded on Kibbur Av Ve'im? Esav was not given the Torah. Why did he do this? The Gemara says further. The Gemara says that in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Aleph, says Ad hechon kibur Rav Eim. Baim name Rav Ulo. They asked Rav Ulo, how far does the mitzvah of kibur Rav Eim go? Omalehem. So he said to them, Tzu'ur Uma also Evit Kechovim Echot Be'ashkelon V'dimon Be'nisinu Shmai. Go and see, there was a certain goy. He was a Roman. Go see how he honored his father and mother. And then we can learn from, he said, then we, the Jews, can learn from him how far this mitzvah goes. His name was Dima ben Nisino. Pamachas, one time the Chachomim wanted to buy something from him for a huge amount of money. 600,000 pieces of gold. Others say that it was a different case, that they needed certain particular precious stones and jewels which they needed for the ephod, for the gown of the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. So they came to him and they offered him an enormous sum. And the key was under the pillow where his father was sleeping. And he said, I'm sorry, I cannot wake up my father and I cannot get the key for the jewels. And whatever they would offer him, nope, he said, I'm not waking up my father. And they lost the deal. Moram brings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a reward. Next year, a Por Aduma was born to him. A red heifer was born to him, which was very rare. And the Chachomim came, and they wanted to buy it. And he said that I know that you need it. And whatever money, whatever cost I will place on it, you will have to pay me. But I only want the amount that I lost on the other deal. The Gemara goes further. One time he was dressed in royal garments of gold and silk. And he was sitting together with the Caesars, the nobility. And his mother was not well. She had gone out of her mind. And she came. She came and she tore his garments. And she slapped him and she spit in front of him, Balehi Klima, and he remained silent. He didn't say anything. So then the Gemara says, the Amr Abchanino, Umami She'ena Metsuva Va'esekach, what can we learn from him? That if he is not commanded in this mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah to the goyim, and he still does this. So, onu shemetzuvin ve'esa al achas kama ve'kama. So we have a mitzvah Hashem, how much more so are we obligated to go to such an extreme in the mitzvah of kibur av ve'em? So here we see, this was a goy, a non-Jew. He kept a mitzvah, but it wasn't a mitzvah for him. The Rambam brings in Perakei of Hilchis Mamrim Halacha Yud Aleph. The halacha is that when there's a ger, a person converts. So a ger shenisgayer kikotin shenayledomi. A person that converts and becomes a Jew, he is like a newborn child. And all legal ties to his previous ancestors are broken. He's a newborn. So legally, he would not have any legal relationship with his previous ancestors. The Rambam says, nevertheless, he's obligated to show special respect to his father and mother.
Why? He says, Shalayemru, Bo Mikdusha Hamura Lekdusha Kala. In order that people shouldn't say, look, when you come to become a Jew, you're supposed to become more holier, not less holier. And here, before, he respected his parents, and now he doesn't. So instead of becoming more holier, he's becoming less holier. Therefore, he has to still respect his parents. This is what the Rambam writes. Here's the question, what do you mean that you shouldn't say he's coming from a... Before he was more holier and now he's less, because then he respected his parents and now he didn't. Then he had to and now he doesn't. Why did he have to before? He wasn't obligated. So what does the Rambam mean? He means that before they were his parents, and whether he had a mitzvah or not, the derech eretz, the yosher in a person, decrees that he must respect his parents. Now you're going to tell me they're not his parents, so he will treat them like anyone else. No. Before he was, this shows, before he had a greater degree of decency when he was a non-Jew than when he's a Jew. How can this be? And the Orach HaShulchan writes that in the Luchos, in the tablets, in Parshas Veschanan, it states, Kaved es avicha vesimecha kasher tzivcho. Honor your father and mother like I have commanded you. Right, the Gemara makes one drosh on that. The question is, what does it mean, like I have commanded you? Honor your father and mother like I have commanded you. So the Orach HaShulchan says, because we could ask the question, what do we need Hashem to command us to honor our father and mother? What decent person would want to honor a father and mother? So we need Hashem to give us a mitzvah on that. All the nations of the world honor their father and mother. Here we're talking in the past, this is what I'm saying, how the world has sunk today. It's a derech eretz, it's a decency. Decency in derech eretz is not Torah. Today we don't know the difference. You see someone who's got at least a little decency, you hold them as a great Talmid Chacham. But in those days, all of the nations, anyone who was a mensch, who was a person, honored his father and mother. So what do we need? Har Sinai, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and tells us to honor our father and mother. What did he give Torah, heaven forbid, to animals? So he says, that's why it says, Kasher Tzivcho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, till now you honored your father and mother because human intelligence required, decreed it. Their heritage. Now a Jew must honor his father and mother for more than that, because I now have commanded you. The Seichel Elyon. We'll explain in a minute what more does this do. But this is what he writes, how the Kasher Tzivcho, like I have commanded you, means. That's one illustration. We'll give another illustration. The Chazal tell us that we have in the Torah what is known as Chukim and Mishpotim. Chukim, statutes, and Mishpotim. Mishpotim would be judgments. What is the difference? States as follows. Chukim, the Chukim of the Torah, ilalei nichtavo lo hayo yedinisom. If the Torah never wrote the statutes, then we would never know what they are. For example, if the Torah never told us not to eat pig, chazir, not to eat camel, not to eat horse, then we would have never known it. So we would have eaten pig and camel and horse. If the Torah would have never told us not to wear shatnez, to take wool and linen and put them together, then we would have never known it. See? If the Torah would have told us what to keep Shabbos on the seventh day, and when to keep Yontif, and all of this, we would have never known them. That's Chukim. What are Mishpotim? Ilu le'nichtavu. If they wouldn't have been written, and we wouldn't have been commanded on them, ruin heim litztavish. We would have still fulfilled them ourselves. That's what the Chazal tell us, Mishpotim. Now what does that mean, we would have fulfilled them ourselves? That means that a whole area of the Torah we would have known ourselves without being given the Torah. Mishpatim are the mitzvahs of the Torah that have a good, logical, intelligent reason behind them. So for that aspect, the nations of the world would have developed them themselves, because they also were given human intelligence, and they were given a yosher, an ability to see what is right and what is straight and what is crooked. So we would have written those ourselves. We have a question, so why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give them to us? What is he just duplicating? No, because we would have fulfilled them from our own intelligence, from Seichel HaTachton. He would have given them to us from Seichel HaElyon, from a godly intelligence, which will make them totally another level, which we'll speak about a little later on. But the point that we're bringing out is that to show that the power of the what we call their heretz decrees a common decency and uprightness in a person without coming unto Torah. And when there's a common uprightness and decency in a person, that doesn't mean he's reached the level of Torah. That means he's reached the level of Derech Eretz. Give you another illustration. This is a question that I once heard 35 years ago, said over by my Rebbe Rav Gifter. But he brought this kasha, this question, from one of the great Gedalim, Rabbi Shua Fik Berlin. In the Torah, in many places. One example of this is in Parshas Vayera, Chof Aleph, Chof Gimel. Abimelech came to Abraham, and they had some type of dispute, and they came to an agreement. So he said, "Va'ato hishove li v'lekim heino." He says, "I want you to take an oath in the name of Hashem in order to bind this agreement." "Vayem Avraham anechi yishoveya." And Avraham said, "I will take an oath." Many times we see by the Oves, by various kings, we see that to bind an agreement, they would take oaths, or they would make a brish, a covenant. We see it sometimes, they would even say, "Hey Parai," they would take an oath by the life of Parai. The question is what good is the oath? What does an oath mean? They're taking a shvuah, they're taking an oath. What obligates them to keep it? The nations of the world were not commanded in the mitzvah of keeping oaths. Israel was, after the Torah was given, but not the nations of the world. So what good is the oath? I give you my word to do something. So I say promise. I promise. What is binding on me that I must keep it? A Jew, because if he's going to take an oath, especially in Hashem's name, so that's one of the cardinal mitzvahs. You shall not use my name in vain. But what binds the nations of the world because they take oaths to each other? Or even to the Oves, to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov before the Torah was given. This is not from their mitzvahs. This kasher of Gifter said he saw in the, it was written when the new Vilna Shas, many decades ago, was written, was published. So Rabbi Shua Feig Berlin was writing a little introduction, and also was writing about that nobody should come and now reprint this Shas for so many years in order not to harm the investment that this publisher just made. So he asked this question. So he answered. He answered in a little different language, but he's answering what we're saying. He's saying, the Torah requires one to keep an oath. That's mitzvahs. But even without the Torah, the yosher, the decency of men, also require one to keep a promise, one to keep an oath. And that decency of men that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in man, that's the dictates of what we are referring to as Derech Eretz. When we received the mitzvah of Shvuah, of Oath, that was the mitzvah of Torah. But before then we were also required to keep it. Not because of the mitzvah of Torah, but because of the mitzvah of Derech Eretz, the Hanogah's Derech Eretz. Now we could go a little further. So then, like the Gemara said in Kiddushin, now that we are commanded further on it as a mitzvah, so how much more so do we have to be careful with this? A word is a word. Used to be in the old days, a word was a word. Today, it came to a point when it was necessary, people would say, the oral word, we better write it down. Today, lawyers tell me, agreements which are written in contracts mean nothing. Absolutely nothing. People say, look, I'm not keeping it. You don't like it, sue me. Old days, a word was honor. You gave a word, you gave a promise. How can you go back on your word? Now, this is not only talking about Jews, but even goyim, even the nations of the world. They wouldn't want to be called a liar that they went back on their word. Another illustration. In Parshas Vayeshev, Paraklamet has Posukhes. Yosef. Yosef was being enticed by the wife of Potiphar. Potiphar was his master. Yosef was a slave in his house. And they were alone in the house. And she approached him. And he said, Vayimoyin Vayimel al Ishes Adonav. And Yosef refused. And he said to the wife of his master, Hein Adoni lo yoda iti ma babois. He says, my master, he doesn't know what's going on in the house. Because everything that he owns, he has placed under my hand. He has elevated me to such a position that there is no one greater than me in his whole household. He was a very wealthy man, Potiphar. He worked for Pharaoh. And he has not held back anything from me. He may sock my sherat ishta, except you, because you are his wife. The eich aser haroag de la hazos. And how, therefore, can I do this great evil? Bechotosi lelekim, and I will sin to Hashem. The last two words he said from this whole statement is, and I will sin to Hashem. What does it mean, sin to Hashem? So Rashi brings, b'nei neach nitztavol arayis. Because the Bnei Noach, the children of Noach, before the giving of the Torah, were commanded on adultery. Now, the question is asked, why, what is Yosef telling her? He's giving her a whole drosha. Why doesn't he just say simply, v'chatosi lelakim? I cannot do this because I will sin to Hashem, because one of our commandments is adultery. This was adultery that was given to the, this was given to all of the nations of the world. Instead, he tells her a whole business. He says, I can't do this because your husband has been so good to me. He took me in and he elevated me, and he made me the head of the house, and he's entrusted me with everything, and he's put his faith in me. So how can I do such an evil to him? These are all logical, intelligent explanations, but the underlying explanation should have been simple, v'chotosi lelakim. How can I do such a thing? I'm sinning to Hashem, and it's a commandment, it's a mitzvah. That he saves for the end. Actually, when he said, Esa Rag de la Zeus, I will do this great evil, this all refers to what he said till now. The answer is what we explained. In this particular, this that a man should not take another person's wife, this is something which is forbidden even if the Torah, even before the Torah forbade us. Because that's the same as stabbing a person in his back. And especially if that man was good to you. Do we need the Torah to tell us that if someone is good to you, you shouldn't stab him in the back? Is that what we need the Torah for? The fact is that a little later on in the parsha, when they had thought, they set up that the brothers had stole from Yosef. How can it be that you stole our master's cup? This is in Parshas Miketz and Bosuk, Mem Dalet Bosuk Dalet. He says, after all he did to you, Lama Shilamtom, Shilamtem Rotachas Tova. After all he did to for you, they thought Yosef was the viceroy. They didn't know it was Yosef. After all he did for you, now you repay him with evil in place of goodness. Now, not if someone does something good for you, not to repay him with evil, that we don't need mitzvah Torah for. That common sense dictates that. That you shouldn't take someone's wife from him, that we don't need mitzvah Torah for. That common sense dictates one. That you shouldn't take someone's wife from behind his back, someone that did so much for you, that common sense and common decency dictates. And that's what Yosef said. He says, after all your husband did for me, I came here with nothing. And now I'm a big shot. I'm the head of his whole house. And all of his wealth he's entrusted to me. And I have hundreds of people working for me. And now this is how I'm going to repay him. So this we don't need Torah for. This is not a Seichel Elyon. This is a Seichel HaTachton. This is the this is what the world would call horse sense. Understand? And Yosef said, also the Chotosi Lelekim. And also it's a sin to Hashem. Why did he say that last? Simple. Because Kodma Derech Eretz LaTorah. Because Derech Eretz comes before Torah. Horse sense and common sense must be there before one comes to learn the Seichel of Hashem. If a person doesn't know what common decency is, how's he going to come to what godly decency is? That's what the Gemara says in the Rambam, that someone that doesn't have Derech Eretz, you're not allowed to teach Torah to. How are you going to teach him what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sense of decency is if he doesn't even have what earthly decency is dictated by earthly intelligence? So this is why Yosef said, V'chotosi lelekim. At the end he said, also it's a sin. But even before we come to that, one is not allowed. Currently in town is a very good friend, Rabbi Elimelech Miller from Yerushalayim. And we were discussing this subject, and I told him this. So he told me that he said something very similar, and the fact is his son wrote a sefer and quotes him on this here. It was not quite the same, but very similar. And then he added a Gemara to it, because the Gemara brings in Masechta Seita Daf Lamed Vov. The Gemara says, Lamed Vov Amud Beis. The Gemara says that Yosef was under enormous temptation. The Gemara tells us that this was not a one-time thing. For days and days and days and days, she was pursuing him, and she was trying every possible way to catch him. And here Yosef was a young boy, and he was away from home. And not only that, she was a very, very wealthy woman, and she could have awarded him handsomely. She was under enormous pressure. What helped save him is, the Gemara brings that he looked out the window, and he saw the image of his father. And when he saw the image of his father, Yaakov, that helped save him. So Rabbi Miller asked, the Gemara says, what did his father tell him? The father told him that if you sin, you're not going to be written on the Cheshir HaMishpot, on the breastplate, together with all of your brothers, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, of the high priest, together with all of your brothers. You want your name eradicated. And therefore there was something that shook Yosef, and therefore he ran away. So he asked a question of another. But that's not the reason he gave her then. So he should have merely said, I can't do this because this is a sin to Hashem. I just saw my father and he reminded me of it, and he should have run away. Instead he gave her a whole logical explanation why he cannot do it. Where did that come from? The image of his father. She answered very well. The last time he saw his father, when was that? That was in Parshas Vayeshev. In Posuk, in Lamed Zayin, Posuk, Yudalit. His father said, he says, your brothers have taken the sheep to Shechem. I'd like you to do me a favor. Lech no re'ei ashleim achecho. Go and see how your brothers are doing, if everything is well with them. Ve'ashleim atzon. And if everything is well with the sheep. And come back and let me know. So his father sent him on his way. That was the last time he saw his father. And they were separated for many, many years, because the brothers then captured him and kidnapped him and sent him down to Egypt and the whole business. The Medrash asked the question here. It says, Shleim Achecho Nicho, Shleim Atzon Mahi. He says, go find out Ishleim Achecho, that if there is Shalom with your brothers, and if there is Shalom with the Tzon, with the sheep. So it says, it's good why he's asking if there's Shalom with the brothers, but what's he asking if there's Shalom with the sheep? What's the sheep have to do with it? So the Medrash says, Mikan, from here we learn a Derech Eretz. That Chayev Odom Lidreish Bishleim Kol Dover Shiesh Lehanominam. That anything that a person takes benefit from, he has to see that they're all right. You get benefit from your sheep, you have to take care of your sheep. And therefore, just like he was interested in the sons, he was also interested in the sheep. Find out if all is well with the sons and all is well with the sheep. Actually, it was Reb Chaim Shmulevitz writes on that. He says, you notice he equated the two. How could he equate the two? Here we're talking about the Yudreish 40, the ones that were going to be the 12 tribes, and then we're talking about the behemoths. How could you equate the two? We see, he says, how far this Derech Eretz goes. You get benefit from something, you have to show it and take care of it. So Rabbi Meller says that's what he saw. when he saw his father's face, so first right away it reminded him of the mitzvahs, b'chotosi lelekim. But then it also reminded him of the Derech Eretz, because his father taught him that as he was leaving. See, his father, why is my father asking about the sheep? The shalom of the sheep. The shalom of the brothers, all right, but the shalom of the sheep. So he probably asked his father, or either he understood himself, or he asked his father, and the father told him. So therefore, when he saw his father, he saw that Derech Eretz. So he told the wise Potiphar, how can I do such a thing? How can I do this evil? That was all from the aspect of Derech Eretz. Now, so what we're saying is that we have sunk so low, the world today, that if we do something that could be a little high level in Derech Eretz, we think that's the greatest Torah. And meanwhile, it hasn't even reached Torah yet. It's just Derech Eretz. The Torah, it could be we don't even know what it is. But now we have another question. If so much of the Torah we would have kept anyway, because common sense and common decency and the common uprightness in a person dictates, decrees that one should do that. So now what is being added that Hashem has given us mitzvahs on it? Why did we need mitzvahs? We would have done it anyhow. The answer to that is like we said, we would have done it, but we would have done it from a perspective of Sechel HaTachton, of human intelligence, of human decency. That's one perspective. But there's another perspective in the world, a much higher perspective. And that's the perspective of Sechel HaElyon, of godly intelligence. What's the difference? I'll give you some illustrations. You take, for example, and this there are literally hundreds and hundreds of cases and illustrations. We won't be able to go through very many. We'll go through one or two. You take, for example, the Midas Noos, the good qualities of a person. For example, anger is not a good quality. Gaiva, arrogance is not a good quality. Anova, humility is a good quality. Simcha, that a person is in joy, is a good quality. Rachamim, he should be compassionate and so forth. These are the good qualities that a person is supposed to develop in himself. Now this common sense, Derech Eretz, decreases. This we know without Torah. We know that if a person is wild, is a lunatic, shouts like a lunatic, if a person always goes around depressed, I mean, this we don't need great Talmidei Chachomim to tell us. This psychologist will tell us. This in human relations will tell you this. How can you get along with people? How can you make friends? How can you be at peace with yourself? These are the Midas Yofes. These are beautiful qualities in a person, and necessary in order to dwell peacefully with other people. If we look in the Rambam also brings how we are obligated to walk in all of these qualities. But he gives a different reason. The Rambam says, Hilchis Deos, Perek Aleph, Halacha Hey, and further, he says, he speaks of all of these beautiful qualities, and they shouldn't be in the extreme, they shouldn't be to the right, or they shouldn't be to the left, but in the middle, he says, Umotzuvim Onu, he's referring to Klal Yisrael. All of the nations are obligated in these qualities, because human common sense dictates it. But umetzuvim onu l'leches, bedrochim ailu. But Yisrael is obligated in these for another reason. Because heim hadrochim vayishorim shenema vahalachta bidrochov. Because of the mitzvah that we are to emulate the Creator, and these are His qualities. Kach londu beferish mitzvah zehu. This is what our sages have taught. Mahu nikra chanun afatohi yochanun. Mahu nikra rachum afatohi rachum. He is good, therefore you be good. He is compassionate, therefore you be compassionate. He is sacred, therefore you be sacred. And so forth and so on. He says, and these names, these qualities, associate with Hashem. Therefore, this derech is called derech Hashem. Now, this is not what the psychologists will teach you. Not what those in human relations will teach you. For a simple reason. Because they are coming to this from the perspective of derech Eretz, from the perspective of human intelligence. Which is true. The human intelligence decreases. But in addition to that, there are enormous more levels to this conduct from the perspective of godly intelligence. Because these qualities are the qualities of the Creator, and they are the way He walks. And we are obligated to emulate His ways. So therefore, you want good human relations, you want good character and personality, human intelligence decrees what you should do. But that's not the mitzvah. That, even without the mitzvah, I would be obligated. The mitzvah now has told me more, that these qualities are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's qualities. And Klal Yisrael was given an enormous higher levels to be able to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu and emulate His ways and become like Him. Therefore we must be humble. Therefore we must be happy. Therefore we must be compassionate. On top of all of the other reasons. That's one illustration. A second illustration. Shalom. Are we supposed to... Shalom is a great mitzvah. It's a very, very great mitzvah. Machlekes is a leisasa. Machlekes is a negative commandment in the Torah. But is someone trying to tell us that if the Torah didn't command us on Shalom, so therefore it would be permissible to always make machlekes and go to war? This common sense dictates that you have to live peacefully with your neighbor. Everyone knows that there cannot be any coexistence unless with anyone, with any member of society, unless you have shalom, unless you have peace and you live peacefully. So then what is the mitzvah? And even the Chazal, many places tell us that with everyone we have to keep shalom because of darkei shalom. So then what is the great mitzvah of shalom? The Rambam brings in Hilchos Malachim, at the end of Perek Yud, it states, Afilo Akum, even when it comes to dealings with the Goyim, the idolaters he's referring to, the Chachomim have commanded us to deal with them peacefully. And therefore we should visit their sick. We should do things that will promote peace. We should visit their sick. We should attend their funerals, participate in their funerals. We should give charity to their poor in order to promote peace. But then the Rambam says, this is not merely to facilitate peaceful coexistence. He says, why? Because this is the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the way of Almighty. Hare nema tev Hashem la'kol v'rachamov al-kol masov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu extends his peace to all creations. Drocheo darcheinayim v'chol nesivoseo shalom. Torah extends its peace to everyone. And a Jew, a non-Jew, was commanded to keep peace because of coexistence. A Jew was commanded to keep peace not only because of coexistence, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu extends his peace to all creations, because the Torah is ways of peace and pleasantness. Another illustration. Achnosis Orchim. If you have a traveler and he needs something, someone is stuck on the road, car broke down. Now, in the days when you could approach people without being afraid of getting shot or hijacked, right? When there was still some derech eretz left in the world, there was still a civilized place. Someone was stuck on the road, and he walked to a farmhouse. The farmer would open his door. Wouldn't have to worry that the guy has an AK. He'd open his door, and he would say, "Let me help you. I'll get my truck and I'll see if I can get your car started, and you want to use the phone, or you want to stay here, or let me give you something to eat." This is Achnosis Orchim. Why did the Torah command the Jew on Achnosis Orchim? We see that any decent non-Jew, if someone needed something, you helped him. This was only common decency. Again, yes, true. But the Gemara comes and tells us that there are further dimensions in Achnosis Orchim that go beyond simply helping someone who's in need. The Gemara, for example, says that when Avraham brought in the wayfarers, he was in the middle of a conversation with Hashem. And he told Hashem, "Will you wait for me, please? Let me go take care of the travelers." The Gemara asks, how could he do such a thing? Here he's speaking to the King of all kings, and he shoves him aside to go take care of travelers. And the Gemara says, from here we learn that Achnosis Orchim is gedele mikabolus pnei Ashchina, that it's more important to take care of wayfarers than even to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But how can this be? And the Maral explains, because it's one thing to help a person, but we have to realize also what a person is. A person is created b'tzelem elokim. He's created in the image of Hashem. And therefore, when you're helping that person, you're also helping HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're giving honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because a person represents Hashem. And that's why it can take priority over speaking to Hashem, because this is merely an extension of giving that honor to Hashem. In other words, another dimension entirely in the Achnosis Orchim. This was the Achnosis Orchim of the world, and there's the Achnosis Orchim of Avraham Avinu. See, this was the mitzvah. One final illustration. There's a mitzvah in the Torah. No, let's put it this way. We all know that a person must take care of his health. That any bar das, any person that has a little seichel, can tell you that. We don't need great chachomim, wise people, to tell us that we should take care of our health. We don't need wise people to tell us that smoking drugs is not the best thing for yourself, because it can cause you brain damage. See? Or to take an overdose of medicine is not healthy. Or to sit out in the rain is not the right thing to do. or to watch what you eat, and so forth. To dress up warm in the winter and cool in the summer, this we don't need great Talmidei Chachomim to tell us that. That is Derech Eretz. The Rambam writes as follows. Rambam writes in the beginning of Perek Dalet Hilchos Deos, Ho'il v'yeis haguf bori v'sholem midarkei Hashem hu. Taking care. He has a whole chapter on taking care of one's health. But he writes first, he says, the reason why he's writing this is because to take care of one's health and to make himself strong is serving Hashem. Now the Rambam was a doctor. He very well knew that we don't have to come onto reasons why one should take care of your health any more than we have to come onto reasons why one shouldn't put his hand on a hot stove. That anyone who's over 3 years old knows that. So what does he have to write it for in his sefer? So he says, Ho'il v'yeis haguf bori v'sholem midarkei Hashem hu. Because aside from all of that, this is also serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sharei i'ef shushi yovin o yoda dove miyedias habeire v'hu chela. Because it is impossible for a person to serve Hashem. It is impossible for a person to do mitzvahs. It's impossible for a person to study and understand Torah if he's sick. Therefore, tzorech laharchik odem atzmi bidvorim ama'abdin es haguf. Therefore, it is incumbent upon a Jew to distance himself from everything that could damage his health, and to conduct his life in a way where he does only things which are good for his health, and these are the good ways, and not the, this is what is good for oneself and this is what is not, and he carries on with this. Common sense dictates we should take care of our health, but there is also a seichel elyon. There is also an additional Chochmah that tells us that we should take care of our health, because through good health we could come to the entire Torah. That's the mitzvah. Another example on the same thing is the Medrash brings in Bahar Perek Lamed Dalet Os Gimel. Medrash brings a pasuk from Mishle Yud Aleph. Gemel nafshoi ish chosed. Someone who does good to his self is a chosid, is a righteous person. What does that mean? Zehil azokin. This refers to Hillel, the great Hillel. Shebishor sheyanifta mitalmidov hoye mahalech vehelech imam. When Hillel was walking, left his talmidim, they were walking, escorted him. Omrele talmidov rebe lehechan atoholech. So they asked him, Rebbe, where are you going? Omalehem lasish mitzvah. He says, I'm going to do a mitzvah. Omrulei v'chima mitzvah. What mitzvah are you going to do? Omalehem lirchetz bebeis hamerchatz. I'm going to the bathhouse. Omrulei v'chizu mitzvah. Is this a mitzvah? Now they knew that you had to go to a bathhouse. They were bali derech eretz. But they didn't. What kind of mitzvah is it? It's derech eretz. It's something that the common sense and intelligence demands. But what kind of mitzvah is it? Mitzvah is Hashem. V'chizu mitzvah. He said, Omru lehem. He says, I will explain it to you. Ma'im ukinye ikunin shel malochi. Sculptures of kings. Busts. Shemamidim Esai Bebote Tatiois Ubebote Kaksiois. We had the sculptures and the busts of the kings and of the Caesars, and they used to display them in their theaters and in their auditoriums, in their museums. Mishen is mana alehem. and they would appoint an official who would be in charge to take care of them. Who Morkain, the Shaitfon, he would clean them, he would wash them, he would shine them, he would polish them. It's the king's pictures, the king's sculptures, sculptures of the king himself. Keep them perfect. Behein malin lemizainus. And they would pay him for this. And not only that, because it would take an expert. Many times they needed restoration. So it would take an expert. They had to keep them perfect. So he would become a very high official from the nobility. He said, that I was given the sculpture of Hashem because I was made in His image, as it states in the Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I will create man in His image. Then how much more so is it a great mitzvah that al achas kama v'kama, that I will take care of my body and I will clean it and I will shine it and make it radiant and beautiful. That's what Shlomo HaMelech King Solomon said, Gomel Nafshei Ish Chosid, that someone who takes care of his body is a chosid. A chosid is a saintly person. Now, you have a person that takes care of his body because of merely physical hygiene, and you have a person that takes care of his body because my body is the image of Hashem. And if the king gave you his picture and his sculpture, wouldn't you keep it perfect? So how much more so if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me his picture, how much more so do I have to keep it perfect? They went to the bathhouse for two different reasons. One goes to the bathhouse for personal hygiene, and the other goes to the bathhouse because he is making the Tzelem Elokim radiant. It's two worlds. The first is decreed by Seichel HaTachto. Human intelligence decrees the first, and that we don't need Torah for. That's not Torah. We need Torah to tell us that a person should wash. If a person doesn't wash, it's not that he lacks Torah. It's not an Odom. Ein amin ha-yishuv, like the Gemara says. But now we have a mitzvah that tells us that when you're washing, you are polishing the image of the Almighty. And therefore, be careful. Do a good job. Gemel, Nafshei ish chosid ze hilo azokin. This was hilo. This is what he taught his Talmidim. What do you mean, what kind of mitzvah is it to go to the Merchatz? It's a great mitzvah. So these are a few illustrations, but there are literally hundreds and thousands of them. But this is all very new to us because we have sunk so low that when we see someone do a good thing that was poshut, that was simple to all of the nations of the world, we think, ooh, grace the Torah. How great is the Torah? To the point where we haven't even climbed into the Derech Eretz yet. And Torah, we don't even know. Did we know that? That when you go to the bathhouse, you are cleansing the image of Hashem? I'd like to end with this story. A number of years ago, one other point. Even the nations of the world, they also were given Torah. They were given the seven mitzvahs. That's not Derech Eretz. That's mitzvahs. Derech Eretz is what they were given without mitzvahs. But those are mitzvahs. And that's what the Rambam writes at the end of Hilchas Malachim. The end of Perekhes of Hilchas Malachim. The Rambam writes, Kol ha-mekabel sheva mitzvah v'nizo la'aseisem, ha-reze mechaside u'maseilem. Whatever Gentile accepts the seven mitzvahs, and he keeps them, then he's from the righteous of the nations of the world, and he has a portion. Yesh lechelek leilam aboy, has a portion in the world to come. Vehu shi kabalei son yasei son b'nei shetziva ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'teira. But he has to keep them from what perspective? Not from the perspective of human wisdom. He has to keep them from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem commanded them, and through his Torah and through Moshe, and they were given over to Noach. You have many Gentiles that will, they won't steal, they won't kill, they won't serve idolatry, because they have come to the conclusion that this is through their own mind, that this is the decent way to live. He says that's not mitzvahs. Ein ze ger teshuv, ein ze mechasidu umasailom. Now there's two girsas in the Rambam. Some I say v'lei mechachmeyam, and some learn ela mechachmeyam. In other words, the Rambam is saying that's wisdom, but that's not Torah. Torah is mitzvahs that come from the upper world into this world. In other words, they realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us these mitzvahs, even by the non-Jew, his seven mitzvahs. If they keep them from that perspective, that's mitzvahs Hashem. And they're from the righteous of the world, and they have a portion in the world to come. If they keep them from the perspective because this is common decency, then it's coming from the perspective of the lower world, which is also very great. It makes it a great derech eretz, but it's not mitzvahs Hashem. And therefore they will not have a port. They're from the Chachmei Umas, they could be from the wise of the nations, but not from the Hasidim, not from the righteous. This is what the Rambam writes. I'd like to conclude with this story. A number of years ago, there was a fella came from Israel. I don't remember if he was a former South African or not. Came from Israel to one of the shurim, and afterwards we were sitting and having a cup of tea, and the discussion was derech eretz, and we were speaking how important it is to teach derech eretz in school and so forth. And he said very strongly, he says, we do not believe in derech eretz, and we don't want it taught in the schools. I said, why not? He says, because derech eretz is not true. It's false. He says, look at the Germans. Look at the Nazis. They were known for their derech eretz. They were known for their manners. They were gentlemen. They were elegant. And look what they did to us. And therefore, we don't believe in derech eretz, and we don't want it in our schools. This is what he stated very emphatically. Now, Nebuch, this shows how far we have sunk. The Germans were Balei Derech Eretz. What is Derech Eretz? Derech Eretz is if you stand straight, and you walk straight, and you click your heels, and you got a nice uniform. That's Derech Eretz. That's what this area of Derech Eretz has been reduced to. To give you an idea of how we have sunk. You can stand straight and have a nice shiny uniform, shiny buttons and shiny boots, but you can be more cruel than an animal. And you can be a reitzeach, you can be a murderer. And you can be enslaved people, innocent people and helpless people, and you can kill children. And you can rape. And you call that person a Baal Derech Eretz. That's what Derech Eretz is limited to. To shiny buttons and standing straight. This is Derech Eretz. A person can be more cruel than an animal. Kechayo. And you say, this is Derech Eretz. This is what common decency decrees how a person should live in the world. And this was not only the Gestapo. This was Germany. And this was not only during the time of the Holocaust. This was hundreds and hundreds of years. Over 100 years ago, one of the great statesmen of the world said, at that time they were not Germany, they were Prussia. He said, Prussia is not a state with an army. It is an army with a state. They were gangsters and murderers and rapists hundreds of years ago. It was over 1,000 years ago that they started to burn the Jewish communities and the pogroms and pillages over 1,000 years. This is 1,000-year history. And someone can say, look how great Balei Derech Eretz the Germans were and still what they did. This very strongly illustrates what we are speaking about. That we have fallen so low that not that we have a we do not have a concept in Torah. Who very big in Torah? Who's talking about Torah? We do not even have a concept in Derech Eretz, in the Derech Eretz that was given to Adam Arishon, and in the Derech Eretz that was considered simple by the nations of the world. At any rate, I hope that these two shurim have given us a greater insight into what is meant when it states Limda Torah Derech Eretz. The Torah is coming to teach us Derech Eretz.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yGj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.